Good morning. It's good to be here. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to stand before you and open God's Word. Been teaching out of 1 John before I retired, and as I have opportunities to preach, I'm finishing up the work in 1 John and preaching those sermons. So if you'd like to turn with me to 1 John 4, 1 through 6, I will be preaching from that text today. So far in this epistle, and going back probably a year before ago we started this lesson, in the first chapter, John talks about the relationship that we ought to have with God. And he describes it as having fellowship with him. In the second chapter, in verses 3 and 4, he talks about the fact that we can know Jesus. In the third chapter, or excuse me, the last part of the second chapter in verse 15, he talks about the relationship we ought to have with the things of this world. And he says that we ought not to love the things of this world. In the third chapter, verses 4 and 5, he says the relationship that we ought to have to sin is plain and simple. We ought not to practice sin. And in the third chapter, verse 11, he talks about the relationship we ought to have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says we ought to love one another. Now, as we go into the fourth chapter, he's going to talk about another relationship that we ought to have, and that's a relationship with false prophets. We need to recognize that there is a very real danger in this world of false prophets, false teachers, false apostles. He says, beloved, and isn't that wonderful that John's talking about such a dangerous thing, and he says, beloved. He's expressing the tremendous love that he has for his brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every spirit. Now, that's almost common sense. I mean, we don't even need to think much about that. Don't believe everything you hear. You know, I tell people all the time, if I see it on the internet, I figure it's a lie. It's wrong if it's on the internet. It's just, there's so much that's nonsense out there. So much that's false. But if you believe everything you hear, or you believe everyone that claims to be from God, we'd be in a constant state of confusion. But you don't have to go too many miles from this building, and you'll find people preaching one thing and another thing and a third thing. And if you believed all of them, I mean, that's the definition of insanity, isn't it? Believing three or four different contradictory things are all right? That's the state we'd be in if we believed every spirit. We'd be so easily misled. And that's exactly what happens in much of the religious world today. They're encouraged to believe the one that's standing in front of them. Don't check him. Don't test him. Don't question. John says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Test the spirits, whether they're of God. Anybody that tells you anything about God or about the church or about salvation, any religious topic whatsoever, you need to say, huh? Where'd you get that? What's book, chapter, and verse on that? Where is that found in God's Word? Test them as to whether they're from God. The word test, or the King James says try them, comes from a word that means to examine, to prove, to scrutinize. I don't know if you like reality TV or not. I kind of like Pawn Stars. And they don't hardly buy anything that they don't bring an expert in to test it. I mean, if there's a signature on it, they want to bring somebody in. Is this a true signature? Is this a secretary that signed it? Or did some machine sign it? If somebody says this is an old gun from the Civil War, they want somebody to come in and look at it and look at the numbers that are on it, look at the grip and all, and is it authentic? And that's what this word means. It means to examine, to prove, to scrutinize, to determine whether it's genuine or not. They do it for money. I mean, they won't want to buy something and find out it's a fake. They don't want to buy something and find out it's been modified and changed and they can't sell it as an original. We do it so that we don't go to hell. So that we can have the opportunity of heaven. You ought to never accept what some teacher or preacher, me or anyone else, is saying. Examine what's being taught. Know for yourself that that's the truth. Now, those that have this attitude in the Bible are highly commended. We can look at Acts the 17th chapter, verse number 11, for example, where we find the Paul as he's preaching through Greece, and he comes to a town of Berea. Acts 17 and verse 11. And he says, these were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. Period. And accepted everything I said. Is that what it says? No, it does not. It says they received it with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That's the folks that are commended, those who try every spirit and are described as being more fair-minded. Now, we can go to the book of Revelation, where John, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us very plainly in the second chapter, verses 1 and 2, he says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, Revelation 2, verse 1, and he said, these things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, that's Christ. He said, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. The angel speaks to the church of Ephesus and says, good job. Good job. I know you've had people come and tell you things that sounded good. They claimed they were apostles. They claimed they were from God. But you checked them out and you found that what they were teaching was wrong and you knew they were liars. Now, John tells us back in the fourth chapter, back in our text, he says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's not a new thing today. I mean, there's a new church opens up somewhere in Franklin County about every week. It's amazing. These folks come and they try to tell you, you know, we've got this message from God. But false prophets are to be feared. They can cost us our soul. We need to know that what's taught is found in this book, not just in some man's mind. Now, again, John's not the first one that warned us about this. He's not the first one who commands folks for testing, and now we're going to look and see that the Bible also tells us, well, Jesus said in Matthew the 7th chapter and verse number 15, to beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. Can you imagine that? There are folks that were trying to teach something when Jesus was right there that was against God's word. 15th verse of the 7th chapter of Matthew says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. There are folks that are willing to stand up and say, I'm from God. I have God's word right here. But they twist it, they turn it, they change it. And they do it because they're ravenous wolves. You know, wolf is a scary animal to a human. You see, they have to hunt every day to find enough meat to eat. And their goal is not to have you scratch behind their ears like our pet dogs. Their goal is to kill you. And when they're ravenous, when they're starved, when they're anxious, they have no mercy. And Jesus says, that's just what we need to beware of. There are false prophets out there. Peter also warned us, not only Jesus, but Peter said during his lifetime in the 2nd chapter of 2nd Peter, says, there were also false prophets among the people. And boy, you don't have to know much about the Old Testament to know there were false prophets among the people back in that day and time. And he said, even so, there will be false teachers among you. You know, it's really hard for some people to accept the fact that somebody that stands behind a pulpit and puts a suit on shouldn't be believed. I mean, they got a Bible in their hands. We're in a church building. Surely they're not going to lie. Peter says, wake up, folks. Go back and look at the Old Testament. That's what it's there for. It's for our learning. We're supposed to know there were false prophets back there, and there's going to be false prophets among us today. And he describes them very plainly, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring into themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they'll exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not simmer. In other words, God's going to get them. They'll have to answer to him. But until then, we need to beware. We need to test. We need to make sure that we understand that we can't just accept everything that's said in a religious way. Look in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Starting with verse number 13, Paul is describing, we've already seen Jesus' description, we've seen Peter's. Now let's look at Paul's. Paul says in verse number 13 of chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. We need to be careful. We need to test. We need to examine. We need to prove. We need to scrutinize those who would teach us. Even though some teachers might consider that insubordinate, even though they don't like it, even though they may not like the controversy that can come when you open yourself up to questioning. But folks, anyone who teaches in our classes, in our pulpits, on our radio, on our website, anywhere, we must test the spirits. Now how? Well, I happen to like expository preaching like I'm doing this morning. So anybody that doesn't preach expositorily is a false prophet, right? That's my opinion. That makes it so, doesn't it? Well, some people are soft and smooth in their delivery, and others yell loud, and I like the soft, smooth, so the loud ones are, is that how we're supposed to test it? What tests do we have? My opinion? Your opinion? No. Not a single thing that I've said is a test is what God says is a test. Look at verse 2 and 3 back in 1 John 4. He says, by this you know. Wait a minute, you're going to tell me how? Absolutely, I'm going to tell you how. God doesn't leave those kind of big questions to our opinion. He says, by this you'll know the Spirit of God. Now, what is it? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, I think primarily in the first century when this was written, he was writing to a group of folks that had a problem with what's called Gnosticism. Folks that actually denied that Jesus came in the flesh. They taught that a spirit came down and indwelled Jesus until he died, and then the spirit went away, and it was just Jesus that died on the cross. And their doctrine was leading a lot of folks astray. You can read about it in a lot of church histories. Because, you see, they were claiming inspiration by the Spirit. But what he's saying is anyone who teaches such a falsehood as that is not led by the Spirit of God. But did you catch what he said they're led by? The Antichrist. He said, you heard he's coming, and he's already here. Boy, what a shock that is to our friends that believe in premillennialism. I mean, that's a total knock you off your feet kind of thing. Because they're looking for the Antichrist to come to start the rapture. Folks, he's been here for 2,000 years. He's already here, he says. Now, look at verse number 6, because he's going to go on and give us a second test. He says in verse number 6, we are of God. That's the apostles. And he who knows God hears us. And he who does not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's the second test. How do you tell the difference between somebody who's speaking the spirit of truth and somebody who's speaking the spirit of error? Well, John says it's pretty clear, really. Those who are of the Spirit of God listen to the apostles. In other words, they teach what the apostles teach. Today, that means they open up the book and they study it and they present what the Bible has to say on the topic. And those who reject that are not of God. Did you notice there's only two possibilities? You either are or you're not. You're either of God or you're not of God. Does their teaching agree with what the apostles teach? Jesus told us very, very plainly in the Gospel of John, excuse me, in verse number 13, or chapter number 13, that if we receive the apostles, then we receive him. He says in 13 and 20, most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Jesus said, if you receive the apostles, you're receiving him. And if you receive him, you're receiving the Father who sent him. If you reject it, what are you rejecting? Not just the book. You're rejecting Christ. And you're rejecting God. That's why it was said of the early church in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There wasn't a little of this and a little of that and a little of something else. You know, when you make up a recipe, you don't see one item on the ingredients list, do you? You see a little salt, a little pepper, and a little bit of spice, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and it comes out a nice, tasty mix. That's what's being delivered in much of the world. And it's called the gospel. But it's a lie. When you test it, you find out they're not of God, because they're not teaching what the book says. Even the apostles recognized their fellow apostles' teaching was from God. Look in 2 Peter, if you will. Chapter number 3. I'm going to be looking 2 Peter 3, starting with verse 15. And Peter says, account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking of those things in which some things are hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Paul's writings are part of the rest of the scriptures. They're God's word. And all I can say to what Peter had to say is, amen. Some of Paul's writings are hard to understand. I won't begin to argue with that one. And we're studying on Wednesday night, for those of you that haven't been attending, our the book of Romans, which is probably one of the hardest ones to understand. But it is a tremendous study and a tremendous lesson. But getting back to our text, I'm going to throw a therefore in there. You know, that's, I've told you many, 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 many times. That says, in conclusion of what I just said, those who are of God heed the apostles and agree with their teachings. It's just that simple. That's a test that we can easily apply today. Today. To virtually every issue that's before the church. Now, that implies some knowledge on our part and some understanding of the apostles' doctrine on our part. That shouldn't be a problem if we've been doing what the apostle, what the early church did and continuing steadfastly in that apostles' doctrine. Now, it's not mentioned here by John, but there are two other tests, if you will, in the Bible. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm going to the 18th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, 21 and 22. Deuteronomy 18, 21 and 22. He says in 21, and if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? How am I supposed to understand what God's not said? You tell me it's from God. How do I know it's not? Well, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, the thing doesn't happen or come to pass at the thing which the Lord has not spoken. And the prophet spoken it presumptuously. Shall not be afraid of him. You remember a while back, not too long ago, there were billboards all over the place. Christ is coming. Guy was on the radio and spreading that all over the place. He even put a specific date on it. I remember Zach used it as an illustration for a Wednesday night invitation. Well, if he did, I didn't see him. Did you? And he tells us when he comes, it'll be with a trumpet, it'll be with angels, and it'll be known by everyone. It didn't happen. The guy was a liar. He's a false teacher. And we don't need to fear him. And he's not the first one. Mary Baker Eddy told us, he's coming. The Jehovah Witnesses in the history says, he's coming. 1814, didn't come. They're false teachers. That's not me saying that. That's the Bible saying that. Now, look at chapter number 13 for the fourth test. Chapter number 14, verses 1 through 4. Deuteronomy 14, 1 through 4. You are the children of the Lord, your God. You shall not cut yourselves. That's the 14th chapter. Let's look at the 13th chapter. 1 through 4. Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign and a wonder, and the sign and the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke you, and then he says, let us go after other gods which you've not known, and let's serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You'll not walk after the Lord your God and fear him, or you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. Keep his commandments, obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. You know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while. Just every once in a while. You ever go through the grocery store and you see these tabloids with all these prophecies and all of this and Nostradamus and all these other dreamers of dreams is the way he describes them here. All these others that claim to be prophets, even if what they tell you happens, if it's different than what God's word says, then they're not to be followed. Because like I said, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while. If you offer enough prophecies, you're going to be right sooner or later. I mean, I've been saying for 40 years the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl. Right, Steve? It's going to happen sooner or later. They're going to win, and I'm going to be right. And that makes me a prophet, right? Yeah, a pretty false one, because I missed a whole bunch of times. But they got Johnny now. They got Mr. Football. So there's hope. The Browns are going to win this Super Bowl. Yeah, I wouldn't put your house on that one. But that's what he's talking about here. Even if somebody's prophecy comes true, what's he teaching? Is it God's word? If it's not, they're to be rejected. Totally rejected. Now, let's go back to our text again. As wise as all of you are, I know you've noticed that I skipped verses 4 and 5. I did 2 and 3 and jumped to 6. Well, the reason I did that is because in the midst of all these horrible warnings, he puts a tremendous amount of comfort. Let's read 4 and 5. He says, you are of God, little children, and overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. You're of God. You're heeding the words of the apostles. You're following God's word. Therefore, you can overcome. And you have overcome. If you'll remember, in the prayer that I offered for Clark earlier this morning, I thanked God for the number of times that he has forgiven us because of wrongs that we've done. We've overcome. We've overcome. Because we're of God's word. The one that's in us is greater than the world. Is greater than the one that's in the world. And that's Satan. I mean, that's not even a contest. The battle's already over. Jesus came forth from the tomb. And that was all Satan had, was death. Jesus is now alive. He's greater than the one that's in the world. Now, he also warns us, don't be surprised if the world follows false prophets. Because you see, false prophets are telling them the things they want to hear. Telling them the things that encourage them. He speaks in a way to appeal to the world. So we shouldn't be surprised by their apparent success. We look and we see huge buildings, large crowds. But folks, I want to tell you, size and numbers do not equal truth. Size and numbers can come from truth, but every size, every large number doesn't mean they're teaching the truth. And in view of the proliferation of religions and doctrines that just bombard us today, all of them in the name of Christ, all of them claiming the Spirit of God, the exhortation to us is very, very relevant and very important. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits whether they are of God. But I have a question for you to think about as you go through the day. Am I continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine so that I know the difference? Am I continuing the apostles' doctrine so that I can properly apply these tests? If I don't know God's word, how am I going to know when it's not God's word? That's a pretty simple question, but quite profound. Quite profound. Test the spirits, but test them by God's word and the things that he has to say. As you look at your life and you think about yourself, would I recognize false teaching? I mean, when I hear it, does it say, whoa, wait a minute, that's not what I already know. That's something new. Let me check God's word. Maybe I've just learned something new. And that's wonderful. But maybe I've been told something that's false. And that can't happen. And be faithful to God. As you look at yourself and you think about your life, do you need the forgiveness that we've talked about today? Have you ever been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins? The Bible very plainly tells us that we need to hear about Jesus. that we need to learn and think about and examine the evidence and come to a conclusion. Jesus is the Christ. And because He is, I have to be obedient to Him. I need to turn away from my sins. I need to repent. And I need to stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Confessing His name. And then being buried with Him in baptism. Rising to walk in a new life, a different life. Now, most of us in here have gone through that part of it. The question for this morning is, are you walking in the light as He's in the light? Are you continuing in the apostles' doctrine? Are you able to test the spirits? If you're not, you need to repent. You need to come. We need to pray with you. We need to do it right now while you stand and while we sing.